Good to be with you today. let's see here. A couple of weeks ago, I was down in Missouri with a friend. We went fishing for a day, went fly fishing, and had to drive a couple hours from his house down Lake. And so we were talking, and that was the time they had the $1.5 billion lottery there. And you may remember that a couple of weeks ago. That's a lot of money. In fact, if we were talking about what we would do if we won that, I'll never win it because I don't play lottery because I can do math. Okay, and he could too. So neither one of us are going. But if you won that, you could shop for 8 hours a day every day for 50 years, and you'd have to spend $82,000 per day. That's about $3 per second you'd have to spend to get rid of that. But what would you do if you had that much money? and we were talking, how you're sitting there and think, oh, man, if I had that much money, why get stuff? And we both said, well, I give like $50 million to University of Missouri where I went to grad school for them to build a new physics building, and I'd help churches and preachers, I'd give up something for a few million dollars to help missionaries go overseas, stuff like that. I'd give money some individuals and stuff. I mean, my friend Al here, I give it $20 to him, and stuff like that. So we spread it around some. But we think about that, and I'm not going to win that. Like I said, I don't play the lottery. But you do this, it's all by chance. What if it wasn't by chance? What if it was a sure thing? And someone said, okay, I'm going to give you that much money, and here's what you got to do. You got to climb Pike's Peak. Guess what? We'd be out in Colorado climbing Pike's Peak. Or what if they said you had to eat 50 hot dogs in one day? I'd be eating hot dogs. Or maybe you had to run or walk 20 miles in a day. We'd be out there walking. Because for a sure thing, we'd do that. Because $1.5 billion, right now I'd give $100 to that guy next door turning his radio down. That thing, Because the things you could do with that. Okay. Well, what if instead of climbing Pike's Peak or some of that, what if instead it said, love your neighbor as yourself? Could we do that? Or do not covet? Or do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? If that's what it said, would we do that? Well, yeah, I think we would. We'd do that for $1.5 billion. Okay. Well, what if instead of $1.5 billion, it was heaven? Would we do it? Because heaven is far greater than $1.5 billion. Heaven is something it doesn't even compare, What would we do to go to heaven? But I bring this up because a lot of people think that going to heaven is a lottery. Oh, I hope I go to heaven. I try to live a good life, not sin, and I just hope I go to heaven. It's not a lottery. And I think we should be aware of that. I teach college, and you start on the first day of school, and some student says, oh, I hope I get an A in class. Well, guess what? It's up to you whether or not you get an A in class. I'm not going to, put names over here and just pull a name out of the hat and just sign an A to this one and stuff like that. It's up to you. And you have to decide how much effort you're going to put into it. I remember when I was in graduate school, I had a class with this one professor. We'd have a test come up. I'd start cramming for the test 1 week to the day before the test. And even then, there was always going to be a question on there. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Okay. But I got an A in that class. Okay. Now, I could say, well, you know, I'm going to put an effort and stay the night before. No, it took that to succeed in his class. Well, you're saying, oh, but it's not a lottery. It's not by chance, you know. Well, look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul says, this crown is going to be given to me. How did he know? Okay. Well, I think the answer is in the verse further. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul knew he was going to get a crown of righteousness because he did the things which were required of him to achieve that crown of righteousness. He made the effort and he stuck with it. He kept the faith. He stayed with it to the end. Paul knew he was going to heaven. How? Because he did what was required of him. You know, sometimes it's that easy. You know, I give a test, and I will tell you this. Each year when I would teach a class, either General Physics 1 or College Physics 1, and when you do that, you're doing mechanics, you're doing things in motion, things like that, and there's four standard equations you solve. If I say something, okay, a car's going down the street, it's accelerating at this rate, and it goes for 10 seconds, how fast is it going in? Four standard equations. You use one of the equations, you know, and you solve it. And each year, I give it to those four equations in my class, and I tell them this. On Friday, I'm going to give you a quiz, and I'm going to ask you to write down those four equations. I've been doing this for probably, six, 7 years now. And I tell them this also. If everyone in the class gets them completely right, I will buy pizza for the class. I have yet to buy pizza. Now, wait a minute. The equations aren't that hard either. V equals V naught plus AT. That's one of them. Okay. Why can't they memorize them? The answer is they can. But it's not important enough for them to make sure that they get it right. All they have to do is memorize those equations, write them down. They know it's coming up. They got like 4 days to prepare. I have yet to buy pizza for class because not everyone gets them right. Now, whose fault is that? Is it my fault or theirs? Was theirs, of course, because they didn't do what was required. They were told what they're going to have to do. They were told what they're going to be tested on, and they don't do it. And because of that, they suffered the consequences. Well, how do we find out what's required? If we want to go to heaven, how do we find out what is required? Well, one way, Mark 16, 15, 16, we're told, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was something told to the disciples. There have been people sent out to preach. People sent out to tell you what you have to do. Okay? And people do that today. They talk to someone about Christ. We talk to people about Christ. Okay? But in doing this, we need to note something. In Acts chapter 18, a couple places there, talking about Apollos. It says, this man was mighty in the scriptures. Said, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. He was fervent for the Lord, but he had incomplete knowledge. And so he said some things that weren't quite complete. And so they took him aside and they explained to him more accurately so he could preach the truth. There's a lot of people out there who want to tell you about God, but they don't have complete knowledge. They tell you part of what they know. They may tell you some things that are just absolutely wrong. Apollos did innocently, but there's some that do it recklessly or purposely even. And we should be aware of that. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." The Bible plainly says if someone brings something to you that you haven't heard from us, that person be accursed. There's people, a lot of people, that this doesn't matter. Tell me, how many people at the time of Paul Hood heard what was in the Book of Mormon? None of them, because it didn't exist for another 1,800 years. And yet people come and they preach something that's totally foreign to the gospel, and they accept and believe it. No, that should be accursed. Okay, so it is up to us to not be fooled. Well, how do we do that? Well, in Acts 17:11, these were more fair-minded, talking about the people in Berea, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched out the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." It says they search the scriptures daily. It means you get out this book and you look it up and you read all the verses that pertain to it and you ask yourself, okay, was that true, what was said? Is that really what happened? Because we accept a lot of things that just aren't true. You've heard, and this is an example, I think we all know this one, people say money is the root of all evil. You've heard that, that's from the Bible. But that's not the saying. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So just little things like that, but have a very different connotation. But it's up to us to find out whether it's right or not, whether or not it's true. How do you know that what I'm telling you today is true? Well, maybe you better look it up for yourself. Prove it to yourself. But even then, you would say, okay, I checked the scripture and I know what I believe is right. Okay. Oh, yeah? Do you know the whole word on the topic, or are you like Apollos? You know that what you were saying was true, but you didn't know all of it. Or you say, well, I know what I believe is right. Can you show me? Okay, show it to me. Because that's a big difference between saying, oh, I believe it, and being able to show it and prove it to someone else. I'm sure I probably told you this before, that I went to college, undergraduate, University of Illinois, and the summer after I got out, went over, one of my lab partners had gotten a job north of Peoria teaching school, and went over to his house for part of the weekend, and his old roommate was there too, and we got in a discussion, and my friend was Catholic, the roommate was Baptist, and I was there, and we got in talking about baptism. And of course, one said, well, you baptize babies. Everyone said, oh, no, you don't have to be baptized at all. Always puzzled me how someone called a Baptist is the guy that says, no, you don't have to be baptized at all. Okay. And I was saying, no, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. I knew that. I was right, right? I didn't know where to turn scripture to show him. I was 21 years old. And I was so ashamed by that I studied and I learned, and in a short time I could show them. And I can show them now. such that I know that what I believe is right. But we need to be at that point. We need to be able to teach others also. And once we find out what it says, we need to be like Ezra. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Once we find out it says, we should do it. We saw a verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's in there. We should do it means we should be here when the doors are open. And yet people read through Scripture, oh yeah, yeah, that, and they don't do it. They don't do it. The key to go to heaven is find out the law of the Lord and do it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. That's our purpose. Fear God and keep his commandments. And if we do that, it's not by chance that we get to heaven. We'll be like Paul. I found out what it says, I checked what it says, I believe what it says, and I'm doing it. And I keep doing it. For as long as I live, I do it. So that if we make it to heaven, it's no wonder that we make it to heaven. It's because we did what God requires of us. But something to also be aware of is that there's those who want us to fail.
You'll never gain it back. No. Okay.
We would question that. Nothing you can do, either God picked you for salvation or he didn't. Okay. Nothing you can do, either you were meant to be skinny or you weren't. Okay. So I guess it's not really up to me at all, right? Your godparents can believe for you. Tom over there can lose the weight for you. I wish that one was true. Yeah. Or all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. All you have to do is believe you'll lose weight and you will. We wouldn't listen to any of those things with common advice on losing weight, but when it comes to
going to heaven, people do. Why? Because we don't want to do anything. We want to be told, oh, we're okay just the way we are, or not really anything we do. It's all been decided for us. Or, okay, at this point you believed on Jesus, so you're going to be saved and the rest of your life. You're a saved person, and don't ever worry. You can't lose that salvation. And all of these things that Satan wants us to believe. But there are things that will send us to hell. And we need to make sure that we're not believing them and we're not doing them. So we have to find out what the Word of God says, and then we have to do it. And at the same time, we have to not do the things that it says do not do. You know, in 1 John 3, verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. This isn't saying that if you're a child of God, it's impossible for you to sin. It's saying that if you want to be a child of God, you can't be doing those things. It's saying that if you want to lose weight, you cannot eat a gallon of ice cream each night. Doesn't mean you can't physically do it. It means you can't have both. If you want to be a child of God, you cannot be out there sinning. Because you need to be like God. You know, I had a job some years ago, and we had a sales manager. And the sales manager told us he didn't drink. He didn't drink. And then saw him a few months after that, and he was all upset because someone gotten on his back porch. He had a refrigerator back there, and they took all the beer out of his fridge. I'm like, wait a minute. You told us you don't drink. And go, well, beer? Like, that's not drinking? I was like, oh, no, I don't do drugs. Well, opium, you know. No, if we're not going to sin, we can't just hold on to our own personal sin that we're really fond of. We got to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And we have to study to show that we're rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It means I have to apply the scripture in the right way. And here Paul's telling Timothy, he says, be diligent. He means study real hard. Keep at it. Work at it. That's a four-letter word we don't like, isn't it? Work. Work at it. You have to be doing this. And it's kind of interesting because I heard a denominational preacher one time quote this verse. And the reason he quoted it, he says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and he's talking about a club they had, they called it AWANA. Stood for a worker and not ashamed. Okay. And he said, okay, this thing, you know, and they took it from this verse here. But that same preacher, a little while later, made the statement talking about being saved, and he said, it is not baptism that saves you. Okay. 1 Peter 3:21, there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. I tell you what, that preacher should have been ashamed. Because he didn't rightly divide the word of truth. He didn't study real hard to make sure what he told you to do. You know, the thing about it is, I think he probably knew this verse, but he wouldn't apply it correctly. Yeah. And people do that. They want things, you know, they just want to do what they want to do. They want to believe what they want to believe. We have to find out what the word is. We have to test it We have to reason with each other or among ourselves or within ourselves. And then we have to do it. We need to put away the things that it says don't do. And we need to persevere. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you were saved. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." If you hold fast. How do you hold fast to something? You know, I get the picture of a guy wrapping his arms around a telephone pole, his arms and his legs around a telephone pole, holding fast, holding on for dear life. That's how we hold fast to something. So that Paul in 2 Timothy, where he says, "I kept the faith," he held on to it for dear life. You know, in 2 Peter 2, 20, 21, talks about people who come to the Lord and then turn back into the world. It says, "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." He says, for those that come to the Lord and then turn back, it's not good. And think about, we know people who've done that. It's not good. The latter in them worse than the beginning. But people do that. They know what the Word of God says, but they choose to follow the things of the world instead. I got a funeral to go to, actually visitation tomorrow night for an aunt that passed away last week. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking about a cousin. I had a cousin named Brian. He's about 15 years younger than me. Okay, and member of church. And he turned back in the world, took up drinking, destroyed his liver. They had him on a list for a liver transplant. Only condition for that was you cannot drink. They're not going to give you someone else's liver just to have you destroy it too. You can't drink, ever drink again. He went out and got drunk. They took him off the list. Brian died about 10 years ago. He made his choice. But he turned back into the world and suffered the consequences of it. We can't do that. Because we want to go to heaven. And in order to go to heaven, we have to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. Every kid that ever took a class from me has the opportunity to get an A. And they have to make up their mind going in. For some, it's easier than for others. But that just means that for some, maybe they have to work at it a bit harder. And maybe we have to work at it a bit harder. Maybe someone else. Okay. But we can make it. It's not a lottery. If we do it, it's a sure thing. And let's say I won that $1.5 billion and I went to sleep at night. I'm thinking, oh, man, oh, this, I'm never going to have to work another day in my life. What am I going to do with all of this? You know, or something. What if I go to bed tonight thinking, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Because that's up to me too. And that's what we should be thinking. And that's how we should be living our lives, so that we go to heaven, because it's a sure thing. If you're here today and you haven't started, or you've fallen back into the world, or you've never started on the path, and maybe you know what the scripture says, maybe you just haven't done it yet. And the first steps in that is to believe the Lord Jesus, repent of your sins, confess his name, be baptized, and then hold fast so we can go to heaven. If we can help you do that this morning, won't you come all together? We stand and we sing.